You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way.
This is Rod Adams, and it's time for Atomic Show number 170. The occasion for this show is a response to an interesting controversy regarding hydraulic fracturing. On June 26, the New York Times published an article that was pretty scathing regarding the economic potential for hydraulic fracturing to really make a long-term difference in the energy picture of the United States. It quoted emails from a number of natural gas industry insiders and geologists who questioned the long-term viability of wells that are produced by fracturing tight shale, because what happens with those wells is they often produce in very large, very high productivity rates for the first year and quickly deplete. The productivity in a hydraulically fractured well is often 50% of the gas that will ever be recovered from that well can be produced in the first year. And with that kind of productivity, the requirement is to continuously drill and drill and drill to be able to maintain production. Calls into question the ability of the natural gas industry to continue to maintain natural gas prices at their current low levels by use of hydraulic fracturing. One of the CEOs of the companies that is most closely associated with this technique is Aubrey McClendon, the CEO of Chesapeake Energy. And Aubrey, in response to the New York Times article, wrote a letter to his company employees and posted it on their public Facebook page. In that letter, he blamed the New York Times article on environmental activists who fight against essentially all forms of reliable energy and want to make the world depend solely on wind and solar, which, as he points out, only provide about 2% of the electricity in the United States. So the letter is long. I'll post links on it to my links to it on the blog associated with this comment. But what I wanted to share with you this morning, today, for however long you want to continue listening, is a audio clip that I captured from a video that was published on a website called energyepicenter.org. Energy Epicenter is the title for an annual conference hosted by the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. And last year, on July 9th, 2010, they had a luncheon that featured a series of speakers talking about the Colorado Clean Air, Clean Jobs Act. It was a panel discussion. The speakers were interesting and talked about the alliances that were formed in order to get that Clean Air Act passed. One of the speakers was Thomas Price, who is a senior vice president for Chesapeake Energy. And I want to let Tom tell you a little bit about how Chesapeake works with people to get involved and produced legislation that favors the use of natural gas over other competitors. So here's Tom in his own words, and I want, after you listen to that, go back and read Aubrey McClendon's letter on Facebook and see what you think. Hope you enjoy it. I want you to compare what Tom Price, the Senior Vice President for Chesapeake Energy, had to say about Chesapeake's alliance with environmental groups to work on the demand side of the equation by shutting down coal plants to provide more demand for natural gas. And this quote from Aubrey McClendon's letter to Chesapeake Energy employees following the New York Times article that questioned the viability, long-term viability, of the shale gas industry. And here's that quote from Aubrey McClendon. "We know for a fact that today's New York Times story is the handiwork of the same group of environmental activists who have been the driving force behind the New York Times' ongoing series of negative articles about the use of fracking and its importance to the U.S. natural gas supply growth revolution, which is changing the face of our nation for the better in multiple areas. It is not clear to me exactly what these environmental activists are seeking to offer as their alternative energy plan, but most that I have talked to continue to naively presume that our great country need only rely on wind and solar energy to meet our current and future energy needs. They always seem to forget that wind and solar produce less than 2% of America's electricity today and are completely non-economic without ongoing governmental and ratepayer subsidies. Just wanted to let you know. Hope you enjoyed this show. And when you're thinking about the controversy over natural gas supplies, remember that cheap natural gas is the excuse that many utilities have used as they have put U.S. nuclear plant expansion plans on hold. So it's an interesting controversy and one that is quite pertinent to those of us who favor the development of nuclear power plants that can operate for 60 years or more on extremely low-cost fuel that, even against cheap natural gas, costs about one-eighth as much. Take care and have a great day.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way. Such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. The way is the Adams way.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.